Okay, Ramban Parshas Kisisa. So the Parsha begins with the mitzvah of the Machtzis HaShekel. And Moshe Rabbeinu was told to count Bnei Yisrael by collecting the Machtzis HaShekel and not to count them directly, because if you count them directly, then they could be a negev. If you count the Jews directly, it could cause a plague to come. Therefore, you collect the Machtzis HaShekel, count the Machtzis HaShekel, and that's how you know how many Jews there are. Okay, and Ramban points out it was not clear that this was a mitzvah, that this was the Doros. And therefore, David, many years later, did count Klal Yisrael directly, and that's when that was a problem. And there was a negif. So, it's a mitzvah ledoros that you don't count Jews. It's ledoros, you don't count Jews directly, collect the machzor shekel. Not only that, this is really a mitzvah ledoros to collect the machzor shekel every year to pay for the korbanos. As we see in the pasuk in Ezra says, that they would collect every year from the Jews, a shlishas shekel, a third of a shekel, to pay for the kabbalah. That's a pasuk in Ezra. You may be familiar with it from Hilchot Tzedakah. Hilchot Tzedakah says the minimum tzedakah anyone can give a year is a shlishas shekel. So a shlishas is not a machtzis, right? A machtzis is a half a shekel. It says Ezra collected a third of a shekel. Why is that? So the Ramban explains, because the value changed. In other words, esrim gera hashekel. So a shekel used to be worth 20 shekel. Half a shekel, therefore, is 10 gera. In times of Ezra, a machtzis, a shlishas shekel was worth 10 gera. So they collected, but it was the same amount. So you would collect, they would collect a shlishas shekel, and that was the amount they would pay every year to pay for the korbanos. Okay, now Rashi tells us that there were two countings over what seems like 2 years, and yet it's the same number. How could that be? How could there be a counting of people over 2 years, different years, and it's the same number? Surely, because it's a count of people, right, from 20 years of age till, so someone who was 19 in year one now is 20. So it can't be the same number. How do you have the same number? So he says that it's really not 2 years. And people's age, when you want to count who's 20 years old, you count from Tishrei. And when you want to count that it's a different year, you count from Nisan. So in other words, when the Torah says that they were at the second year, they counted the Jews again. It wasn't really the second year. It was months later, because the first one, because right, the people's age was from Tishrei, and the years counted from Nisan, so it wasn't really 2 years. Okay, so the Ramban doesn't like that, because it's still many, many months. And also, forget a 19-year-old becoming 20. People born or people die, all kinds of stuff happens. How can it be that same number? And also, he points out, since when do we count people from Tishrei? People aren't counted from Tishrei what age they are. They're counted from when they're born. Right? You're born, it has nothing to do with Tishrei. It has to do with the day you're born. Anyway, so the Ramban says, there's a couple answers. Number one, you could say between people turning 19 to 20 and people living and dying, whatever, so that could, maybe it worked out that way. But he says, really, the kasha is no kasha, because in the first time they counted Klal Yisrael, Shevet Levi was included. Because he wasn't, Shevet Levi hadn't yet been separated out. And the second time Klal Yisrael was counted, Shevet Levi was specifically not part of that. So that changes things right there. Of course, once you say that, then you have to explain how it switched from when the Jews left Mitzrayim and they were 600,000. Then when they counted them at the Machzor Shekel number one, it was 603,550. So how did that change? How did that not change? In other words, there's really three times. Klal Yisrael was said to be 600,000 between 20 and 60. And then at the first time they're counted at 603,550. And then same second time. So if he just explained to you, why there was big changes, because in one time Shevet Levi was part of the count. So what about, from the time Klal Yisrael is called 600,000 till the time they first counted, basically doesn't change, 603. So how could that be? That didn't increase at all. So he says it says that they were approximately 600,000 when they left Mitzrayim. Not exactly 600,000. Furthermore, he suggests that the assumption of the Ramban's going with is that it should have always been increasing. So really, he says, maybe the 600,000 Jews that left Mitzrayim, those were included people 13 years old. meaning it's when it says men over there, perhaps when they left Mitzrayim, there was 600,000 men from including 13 and up, bar mitzvah and up. And then when we get to our parsha, and we're, you know, they have the machzor shekel here, so, and they're trying to count Klai Yisrael, that's between 20 and 60. So that's, even though it's still 600,000, but you just knocked out all the 13-year-olds, so really it means it increased. Meaning like the people between 20 and 60, was less than 600,000. It's only with the 13-year-olds. And now when we get to counting Klai Yisrael with the machzor shekel, we're only counting 20 to 60. So then, it's still 600,000 because it really increased because you took out the 13-year-olds. And then when you get to the next one in Bamidbar, and it's the same number again, there you got rid of Levi, Shevet Levi. So basically, it's always increasing. It's just, we're doing the math different. That's why it keeps coming out 600,000. First time we did 600,000, it was Klal Yisrael from 13 and up. Second time we did the counting, that was Hashem telling us it was 600,000. Second time, when they were counted with the Machzor Shekel, we knocked out all the 13-year-olds, and it's still 600,000, means there's more Jews. And then the third time, we had Shevet HaLevi is knocked out, so it really increased that amount as well. Okay, that's how he makes the Cheshbon. Okay, then we call, the shekels are called the Shekel HaKodesh. Why are they called Shekel HaKodesh? Because they're used for Kodesh, right? That's what you do, Erechin and Pidyon Bechor. Use the shekel, use it for holy, and for the Mishkan, use it for holy things, so it's called the Shekel HaKodesh. And he says, the Ramban says, he thinks that that's why when we say Lashon HaKodesh, we call the language of the Torah is in Lashon HaKodesh, because it's used with Divrei Torah, that's how Hashem speaks to his Nevi'im, so it becomes the Lashon HaKodesh. Of course, it's more than that, you know, the Shems of Hashem are in Hebrew, those are the Lashon HaKodesh, those are the words he used to create the world. Okay. This is as opposed to the Rambam. The Rambam says Lashon HaKodesh is Lashon Kodesh because it doesn't have any not nice words in it. So anything that you think is a not nice word, it's only like a kinui. And the Rambam disagrees and says that's just not true. There are bad words. Bad meaning, you know, not nice words. So like the Rambam says that Shagal is not a word for Bila. The Rambam says yes it is. And the Ramban brings other examples, Chorehem. They're words that are not nice things, and it's part of Lashon HaKodesh, or rather the Ramban says Lashon HaKodesh means just because it's used with Kedusha. Ramban also points out that the shekel that we talk about in the Gemara is not the shekel that we're talking about in the Pasuk. The Pasuk that says shekel, that you should take half of it, the shekel is the sela that we're talking about in the Gemara, right? We in the Gemara we have sela and dinarim and ma'az. So a sela of the Gemara, which is 4 dinarim, right, in the Gemara, and a half of a sela is a shekel. So there's 2 shekels in a sela, and 4 dinars in a sela, meaning, right, so you got the math there. Each shekel has 2 dinars. Each sela has 2 shekels. Anyway, sela is the shekel of the Torah, and what the Gemara calls shekel is what everybody called shekel in their time, because that was the machzor shekel, meaning every year you have to give the machzor shekel. So, since that's half, so they would call it the shekel, because it's the machzor shekel. But the sela is the shekel, and what the Gemara calls a shekel is the machzor shekel. Okay. That's very interesting. Some versions of the Ramban have this extra piece where the Ramban writes that when he got to Eretz Yisrael, he found a shekel, a real one. We have them today, by the way. You know, collectors have them or they have it in museums. And on one side, this is the Ramban writing. It's fascinating. He said he found a coin, and an old coin from then. And on one side, it had the Shkedim branch. An almond branch, and on the other side it had this like cup, and that was supposed to be like the cup that held the Tzintzenes Haman, and the other side was Aaron's thing, and it said in it, in what we call, you know, the Ivri, Ksav Ivri, so he said, you know, it's not what we read as Hebrew, but it's this Ksav Ivri, he said he showed it to the Kusim over there in Israel, and they read it no problem, because that's what they used. And he said, it says on one side, Shekel Ashkalim, and it said on the other side, Yerushalayim HaKdosha. And they have this, this is true. This is real. They have it in museums and collectors. They have these coins. And he said he weighed it. And it weighed exactly where Rashi said it was supposed to weigh, which is a half cologne ounce. You know, cologne in Germany, half cologne ounce, which is 14.6 grams of silver, it says here. And he also found another coin, same thing, it was smaller, and it was exactly half. That's the Machtes Shekel, which was half of that, 7.3 grams of silver. Just fascinating. Okay, next. We have that Bnei Aaron have to wash their hands before they do their avoda, and the Ramban says it's the derech Shulchan Malachim, it's the cover of Shulchan Malachim. Before you touch the Pasa Melech, you should have to wash your hands. Okay, and then it talks about the spices you need to make the Shemen HaMishcha from. So the first one is Mor Doror. It's always around Purim time. Mordechai Mor Doror. Anyway, so you use Mor Doror. What is Mor Doror? So the Rambam and others say it means musk, which comes from an animal. And the Ramban doesn't think that that's what it is. He brings a bunch of rayas. Anyway, he thinks that it's the Mor Doror is myrrh, which is something else. Myrrh, M-Y-R-H, you know, myrrh, whatever. Maybe it's two H's there, I'm not sure. Myrrh, which is closer to what it sounds like. So it says more, and he says in Roman it's called myrrh, and in Lashon Parsis, it's all the same in a lot of languages. He says in all the languages, myrrh means myrrh, so it probably means myrrh and not musk. Okay. Okay, and they use that to do the Meshicha, as part of the things to do the Shemana Meshicha. Then it talks about the Keteris. This is just kind of a side point that it says, Vasisasa in Pasuk Lamed Hei, Vasisasa Keterich Rokach Maserokech Mimulach Tohar Kodesh. What does Mimulach mean? So Rashi says Mimulach means mixed up, meaning that you mix up the ground spices well. And where does that come from? Because sailors are called Malachim, and that's because they have the ore that they're like as if mixing up in the water, turning it over again. So that's why they're called Malachim, and therefore that's Mimulach. Doesn't mean what it sounds like. You might think like salty. It doesn't mean that. Rather, it means mixed up well. So the Ramban disagrees. He thinks it means you do malach stomas. And he says the reason why malachim, meaning mem lamed ches, sailors are called sailors, malachim, is not because they use oars to turn over the sea, because that's not the type of people that they're talking about, meaning the sailors that turn over, that the ones that are called malachim sailors are not the ones who hold the oars. He brings it right. The pasuk says, "Exev ayirdum ani yosem kol tofse mashot malachim and kol chov lehayam." So you see, kofte mashot, tofse mashot, those who hold the oars, and malachim, and the sailors. So they're not the same people. He thinks that the sailors are called sailors because they know how to taste the water or the air. I don't know exactly what they taste. They can taste well and know when it's a good time to go. Almost like saying they have the sense. Okay, but that's what the Ramban holds. The Ramban holds it is, actually. Salt Melech Stomas. Okay. Then we have Ru Karasi B'Shem B'Tzala Ben Ur Ben Hur. This Ru, go see. That's repeated twice. Moshe says to Klai, so Ru Karashem B'Shem. So, and it says, so anyway, this Rei Karasi B'Shem, and Moshe says Rei Karasi B'Shem. So it said twice, because it was such an ace. Like, look what Hashem did. Meaning Hashem put in, the Batal had no clue. They were all slaves and their hands should have been all messed up by working in brick pits or whatever. And now they had to do fine, sewing and all this stuff. And how would anybody know how to do this? And Batal knew how to do everything. And there's almost nobody knows how to do everything. And that was all because Hashem gave him the Siyata Dishmaya to know. So that was Ru, see. Okay, then we have the story of the Egel Azav, and this is a very Yisodistic thing from the Ramban, that the Ramban understands the following. This is the idea of the Egel Azav. When they saw Moshe was gone, they didn't want to build an Avodah Zarah. That was not the goal. They asked Aaron to build for them a leader, because meaning they needed someone to show them what to do, a Morah Derech. And Moshe used to be the one that did that, right? It wasn't like Hashem talked to all of Klal Yisrael all the time. There was a Moshe Rabbeinu who was leading them, so Klal Yisrael wanted, if there's no Moshe, so what are we going to do? Who's going to take over? So they said, let's have this make a, let's get a leader, meaning the way they figured was, or this is the way Aaron figured when he gave them a calf, for sure his idea was the Midbar is a makom of Midas Adin, it's a makom of Shmama, so what would lead them in the Midas Adin? So they would need, they figured if they bring Karbanos to Hashem, and they have this Egel Azov here, if they bring Karbanos to Hashem, not to the Egel, if they were Zoveach Zvachim to Hashem, so Hashem would send his Shefa, Shechina, something onto the shore, which was just a representative of one of the pictures, so to speak, on the Kisei HaKavod, that is on the left, that represents Midas Adin. And so Hashem would send his Shefa there to lead them in this Makom of Midas Adin. So that was the goal. The goal was not to worship the calf, the goal was to worship Hashem, and they figured they offer Karbanos to Hashem, the Shefa of Hashem comes on this shore, which just represents something in the Kisei Shemayim, and that would lead them on the way, like Moshe did, but not that they were worshiping the shore. And that's why it says, they keep saying Ha'alucha, instead of saying, took you out of, right? They didn't think that the shore took them out of Mitzrayim. And the Rabban says later on, you know, that they weren't stupid to think. They had, you know, they all took their earrings out of their ears. And the Ramban says they weren't stupid enough to think that the earring that took them, they just took out of their ears, is the thing that took them out of Mitzrayim. Right? It says, Eile Elohecha Yisrael Asher He'elucha. Means leads you, not took you out of Mitzrayim. Leads you in the desert. Asher He'elucha Mitzrayim. So, that was what they were thinking of doing. Problem was, not everybody took it that way. Some people, not that that was right either, that was also wrong, but wasn't as bad as worshiping to it. There were people who didn't quite get it, and they decided, okay, we're going to worship Avodah Zarah, so they were Zoveach Svachim to the Eagle itself. Those were the real Ovdei Avodah Zarah. The people who did this other thing, it was also wrong, but there wasn't real Avodah Zarah. Real Avodah Zarah, when you actually worship the thing itself, so some people did that, and that was the super problem. The other one was also wrong, but this was the super problem. So Aaron told them to take off gold, because gold is also kind of like Midas Adin is Domet Ered, which is a Midas Adin thing. And they said, Elo Hachisal Shel HaLucha, that led you. Remember, and then Aaron says, Chag LaShem Machar, that was supposed to be the plan. They're supposed to serve Hashem the next day. Or it could be Aaron, of course, was just delaying them, because it was a little bit of both. And they got up and they worshipped Avodah Zarah. They brought Zvachim to the Avodah Zarah itself. Or possibly Aaron brought the carbon, and they had the wrong intention. Whatever it is, there were people who had in mind for Avodah Zarah, and that was the problem. Now, he says that most of Klal Yisrael did participate in the Chet Egel, or else Hashem would have said that he was going to kill the whole Klal Yisrael. It's just there were only some people that did real Avodah Zarah. Everyone else participated in the other sense, of trying to, you know, this having a leader kind of thing, but there are only some that were, let's say, what usually we understand it to be the Erevim, that actually worshipped Avodah Zarah. But most of them participated in giving their gold and stuff like that, and the other part. Okay, so then they sinned, and Moshe comes down, and we know what happens. Moshe destroys the Egel Azov, and the Levim kill all the worshippers of the Egel Azov, the real of the Avodah Zarah. And okay, so when he first comes down, he comes down holding the luchos of Ma'aseh Elokim, and the Ramban describes that as he comes down and he gets near the Egel Azov, the tumah of the Egel Azov and the chait causes the letters on the luchos to disappear, to float away. Then we have this very interesting Ramban that says, Yehoshua hears the voice of the nation, and he says it's a kol melchama, and Moshe says, no, it's not a kol anos kvura, it's not a kol anos chalosha, it's a kol anos anochi shomea. So Ramban says Moshe was an av b'chachma and could understand things from hearing notes, different notes, and what he heard, he could figure out what was going on. And he says, brings the Chazal in Koheles that says, "Shamalah Moshe Misha Asad Linuk Shor Al Yisrael Inu Mavchin Bin Kol LaKol." Like Moshe said, if you want to be a leader of the Jewish people, then you got to understand what you hear. I've heard, I don't know if this is true, I have heard that Rav Yaakov Weinberger was the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael. I heard this story, I don't know if it's true, that there was a certain thing of classical music goes called Vivaldi's Four Seasons. And if you couldn't tell the difference when listening to that music, which was winter and which was fall, then, you know, you were in a Talmud Chacham or something like that. I don't know, that's a story I heard. Whether it's true or not, doesn't matter. The point is, apparently, a great wise Talmud Chacham should know the difference when he hears different kolos. What's going on there? What do you hear there? And figure it out. That's a fascinating robot. Okay, so then Moshe destroys the chete, destroys the egel, and he grinds it up, and he makes them drink it as like a bedikas hazav. So the Ramban says this was to be mevaza, the whole concept, because this way they would swallow it, and it would come out in their excrement, and then, you know, that's mevaza, the whole concept. That was the purpose of that. Okay, then in Pasuk it says, Pasuk Chaf Hey, it says, Vayomer she'asam kiparohu kiparoh aron l'shimtza bekameihem. What does that last two words mean? L'shimtza bekameihem. So, Uncle says, la'savusun shum bishli darehon, to give them a bad name for Doros. What does that mean? So this is the Ramban L'shitaso, says, perfect, is what I said, that they weren't, their intention wasn't really so bad, but people in future generations would say their intention was bad, and they were all trying to worship Avodah Zarah, and that's exactly what happened. It's Yeravim. He said the same line. Exact same line. Yeravim said when he brought up, when he started Avodah Zarah, he said, don't go up to Yerushalayim, Eila l'hacha Yisrael asher alucha meretz Mitzrayim. So you see that they said, oh, okay, because they meant to worship Avodah Zarah, you should also worship Avodah Zarah. Okay, unbelievable. Okay, anyway, Hashem gets upset of Klal Yisrael, and Moshe has to daven for them. And it says that Hashem was going to send the Malach to go with them instead. And it says in Pasuk, Parak Lamagimel, Pasuk Vav, Yisnatzlu b'nei Yisrael, Esed Yom Mihar Chorev. They took off Ed Yom. What is that? So, Ramban says from the Chazal, in Bereishis Rabbah, it says, Zina'us chagalehem kolomer shechagalehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu klei zayin. Hashem gave them at Matan Torah klei zayin, lihinatzel mikol pego malach hamavas. They had special protection at Har Sinai to be saved from the malach hamavas. As it says, Chorus al ruchos, it was chirus mi malach hamavas. So, and he says, these are shmos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was supposed to protect them. At Har Sinai, they got these things to protect them from the malach hamavas. And then when Hashem get angry at them, so they were makabel on themselves, misa baratzo nafsha mipnei onesh ha'egel. So that was the tshuva and the tshuva gedol and charata that they had. They felt so bad about what they did. So they took off their edyom. Isn't that amazing? They took it off because they were makabel the punishment of misa for their avera that they did. Ramban also brings a medrash. Remember, Rosh is going up and down the mountain, right? He went up 40 days down and then back up. So he brings a pirkei to Rav Elazar, which is just fascinating, that says, Rabbi Shimon ben Karcha says, Mem yom asa Moshe bahar, kori bedas mikra biyom, mishona bedas mishnah b'layla. Moshe would learn Torah Shemichsav by day and Torah Shemal Peh at night. Which is interesting, because they say that you're supposed to not learn Torah Shemichsav at night. So here you have a source for that. It also says that on Rosh Chodesh Elul, when Moshe went back up, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alei Elai Hahara Vehaviru Shofar B'machane, that Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to go back up, and they blew a shofar B'machane, Shele Yisu Oud Achar Avodah Zarah, that shofar was supposed to beat, that they shouldn't go back to Avodah Zarah. Meaning that blowing of the shofar was supposed to be a sign that they wouldn't sin again. And he says, and the Pirkei de Rav Elazar says, and that's why we blow the shofar during Elul. Amazing on Rosh Chodesh Elul anyway. That's why we blow the shofar. This is in a Pirkei de Rav Elazar apparently. Okay, that's also fascinating. Then we have, it just mentions Yoshua, Misharso Yoshua bin Nun Nar. Why is Yoshua bin Nun called a Nar? He was definitely not a Nar. He was not a young kid. He was an older man. So why is it called a Nar? So the Ramban just tells you that in Hebrew, whenever there's one guy in charge and someone under him, one is called the Ish, the other one's called a Nar. It's nothing to do with their ages. That's just how it works. Also, there's also fascinating, why was he called Yoshua bin Nun instead of Yoshua ben Nun? So the Ramban suggests because it was like a, it almost sounds like it was a nickname, but bin Nun sounds like the smart one, the Navon. Yoshua bin Nun, like the one who knows. It was like they called it him Derech Kavod. Also fascinating. Okay, then it says when Moshe went back up to Har Sinai for the second time, everyone had to stand further back. And he says the reason, further back than they had at Maimon Har Sinai, and he says the reason is because the first Maimon Har Sinai was for all of Klal Yisrael. This was only Bezchus Moshe, so the other people had to stand further back. Okay. And let's, on the Pasuk Vishlo Yaleivach, nobody should go up with you, they understand you do. Even further back, the animals understand far back. Okay. Meaning, it's the, even this kingdom came, nobody came anywhere near him, everybody is standing back. Okay. Then we had, in Pasuk Chavches, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu was up at Har Sinai another 40 days and 40 nights getting the second Luchos, even though, like you would think, you learned it already. How long does it take the second time? It didn't quite work that way. He was up to the same 40 days and 40 nights. And the Ramban says that the second Luchos also had Ksav Hashem. You know, it was Mechtav Elokim. It also was written by Hashem. Like he says, the Pasuk says, Vayichtav Al Luchos K'michtav Rishon. So it was written by Hashem. So both Luchos Rishonos and Luchos Shnios were written by Tzbelokim, says the Ramban. Okay, and we'll stop there.